Thank you for Jantana who come with me to visit you all. And thank you for Khun Kim to drive me all the way from Bandung to Sydney. And good evening, everyone. How are you today? Are you tired from the exhibition? Yes, must be. I heard some of you last night sleep very late. I have to return the artifacts to a few temples, pack and unpack, loading, everything. You happy with your exhibition? Yes? Good, good. Happened just once in 4 or 2 years? 3 years. Yeah. So it's really a rare event that happened in the university. Opportunity for many people can see something. And because of seeing, because of reading and hearing, that's how knowledge or wisdom can happen. So there is one way that your universe and many of us who give your time for the benefit of other people. Because it's university people is one type of people which is called the most difficult people. You agree? Yeah. The most difficult people to deal with. In particular, when you use the degree to label, the most difficult one is PhD. Less difficult is master degree. Less difficult is bachelor degree. Less difficult just certificate. Less diploma. less. Think about that. Because when you talk to farmer who got no certificate, no diploma, you can talk with them and they will talk back to you with their experience. Correct? Their experience. When you talk to somebody who PhD to PhD, you may talk with someone dealing with letters and papers. A lot of ideas and theory. Whether that PhD who study about stone learn to use the stone or not is another story. PhD about rice but know how to grow rice or not, another story. So that's why it's difficult. Some of you study PhD. Anyone study PhD here? Or anyone graduate already PhD? Okay. Master degree? Anyone? Second degree? Yes? Yes. I heard many people who study PhD say that the most difficult time is to, what do you call, professor? To please the professors. Correct? I don't know if it happened in master degree or not. Maybe not that bad. No, PhD, I heard many people complain. Have to please the professor. Professor say something and you never understand, but you have to figure out what to do, how to do. When you have problem, you like to talk to him, he or she never have time. So that is not easy, correct? So why difficulty happens? This is one thing really interesting. And maybe it does not mean that people around us are difficult people. Maybe we are a difficult one too. See, it's a topic. How to deal with the difficult people? You know, the fact is that in the Buddhist temple, the most difficult person to deal with is the airport. You believe? believe or not. The airport is the most difficult person to deal with.
Yeah.
You can ask him. Yeah. The other monks, Ajahn Thana, Sayada, easy. But when Kim talked to Pramana, she always pull her hands. Oh, what do you call? Stamp on the ground like this. And sometimes she has to go tantrum. That's so difficult to talk to the airport. She has her plan. The airport has his own plan. And because the airport is the one in charge, see, and you're going to persuade someone in charge to follow your idea. Unfortunately, because he is in charge, he has his own idea too. So, it's interesting that sometimes it's not only the students difficult, the teacher is very difficult. And I find myself that sometimes I feel that I'm a very difficult person for the other monks to deal with. Even my helper Kim too, to deal with me. Whatever she's going to present to me, whatever the other monks give the ideas to me, sometimes I consider that, yes, I listen to you, yes, but I must follow you. Correct. Always listen to Ajahn Thana, to Sayada, to Kim. Always listen to them. When I have some questions, you can ask Ajahn Thana. I always ask his opinion. First time he give the opinion, second time he give opinion. But I never follow his opinion. Third time I ask, what do you think? He said, no idea. Because sometimes they feel that there's no point to give ideas to the effort. He has his own idea. There's no point when he ask question, what you think? There's no point to answer because he has his own plan. I feel that I am a very difficult person to deal with too. And because of that, whenever I would like to do something, I feel that one thing is my own idea. Yeah, this is very difficult. I have my own plan. And I have my own idea. So, for example, when today, this afternoon, we are making an exhibition, outdoor exhibition. So, we need to do a few things. For example, we're going to put the timber post in the ground in order to support the ceiling. We all have experience in working. So, I expect that we all have experience. We should know what to do. First, to make a measurement. Second, to use the right tool to dig the hole. And how big is the hole? How deep is the hole? We all should know it because we put over 100 poles in the ground. And we all have done it before. So, I feel a little bit annoyed. Once the same people who put 100 poles in the ground not prepare anything. See? So, I feel that I have to move the timber there. People should know what to do after that. They should paint termite proof before put the wooden timber in the floor. So I can see, oh, this is difficulty. It's my own idea. My own idea comes into contact with the mind all the time. Idea, thought, and expectation. My own idea that I expect people who have done it already should know. Step 1 to step 10. I should know what to do, what tools we need. So that idea and produce expectation for people to follow. They should know they should do like this. So once expectation there and they didn't do it, that is how feel annoyed happens in the mind. Feel cranky, feel upset, feel not happy because of idea is here. Expect them to follow this idea. And that's why when they don't follow this idea, reactions happen. Feeling not happy, feeling upset, feeling cranky, feeling bad mood. So eventually, I myself become a very difficult person. To dig the hole is not difficult at all, but to please this one, difficult. Because I expect the tools should be there, the nails, the hammer, the drill, everything, the machine tape, the spirit level, it should be there, available at any time. We should know what to do with it. So eventually that hammer, that nail, that spirit level, that shower, no problem. But this one is no problem. So we can see, I can see the feeling happen immediately. The feeling that because of my own expectation, and it create the response of my own unhappiness, my own upsetness, my own bad mood, short temper, and that comes out in the eyes and the words and the action. So people around feel not really comfortable, very difficult. It's easy to put that pose in the ground. Even heavy, you need to use a forklift to lift it up. And only a few months, you have to tie the rope, you have to really secure it, otherwise it falls down on somebody. Even though difficult, but not that difficult with less difficult to please this person because of my expectation is there. So we can see that eventually our own expectation is the one that creates problems. Our own expectation make our own mind difficult. And because lack of awareness, lack of mindfulness, that's why my mind grabs that expectation, hold it so tight. And once we hold it so tight and people can't read my mind, even though the 2 months wonderfully, Kim wonderfully tried to work so hard, no one can work hard like Ajahn Thana, Ajahn Sayadaw and Kim in the monastery. Wake up in the morning chanting, have their little breakfast, and then the expecting abbot is waiting for them. They have no own power of the breakfast. They know that someone waiting there. You have to go work there. Then we hurry back for lunch. When Kim cooking, come to the temple at 10:30, cooking beautiful lunch. Ring the bell. The monk don't want to come because they just playing, happy with their work. Ring the bell again, almost midday. Then the other 2 monks just look at me until you say, okay, better go for lunch. It's 5 minutes to 12. Okay, a rush to eat. Rush to eat before midday. And then go to here, washing up, and then try to have a little break. But the difficult effort, after eating, he didn't have a break. He just go back to work. Until evening. Okay, we do chanting at 6. But we stop working almost 5:30, half an hour, to take a shower, to change, and run to the cushion and start chanting. And then we finish almost 8:30 or 9 o'clock. So each day, Ajahn Thana Sayadaw, you see his dead time in the monastery is like this. Very little private time, very small. Kim come every single day to work, helping the monastery. So I can see that they already have done very difficult job to do, difficult things to do. So this is their kindness, loving kindness to help people. So I can see that my expectation is the one who really make the hard work become harder. See, difficult job become more difficult job, not because of the nature of the work, but the expectation is there. So we can see that because of lack of awareness, lack of mindfulness. At that time, when that idea emerged in the mind, lack of awareness, lack of mindfulness, grab onto that idea so tight, and then you transform yourself immediately. Some monk comment to me that out of working time, pramana is quite friendly. But when he put his favorite working belt, click, with that hammer, nail, screwdriver, and he put his favorite hat and his favorite working boot, he changed because the idea happened and the mind transformed into the working mood. And then when working mood happens, and when pramana look at people who have done the job before, expectation there. I have really clear notice one night when I have to work alone. Actually, I do it myself. I just said, okay, chanting time, everyone go, but I sit in the car for the whole day. On that day, we came to Sydney for the exhibition, correct? On that day. Yeah, the opening. We went back there, 5 o'clock, chanting at 6. I sit in the car for many, many hours. I can't. My body need to move. So I just excuse that they were chanting, meditation. I go and turn on the spotlight, cut the timber, nail, screwdriver, do myself in the dark. And I feel something really interesting that I discovered. When I work alone from 5:30 to 11 o'clock at night, I feel so peaceful. I feel really peaceful. You know, you almost can't see that much. I have to put the what they call the touch here, tie here, so I can see what I'm doing. I feel very peaceful because the difference is that there's no expectation. Yeah. No expectation from people around. So I can do things quite slowly, peacefully enjoy doing it. But once I see someone who used to work that kind of job before, expectation emerged immediately and the mind grabbed it immediately and transformed. So this is one thing that we can see, the difficult mind is not here all the time. We all have that pure original mind is so peaceful. But that idea, the ideas that emerge, as Buddhist term called sankhara, mental formation, emerges. Unfortunately, the mental formation of thoughts, it declare itself naturally impermanent. It's only because of avijja, ignorance, lack of awareness, lack of mindfulness. That's why the mind grabs the idea. So, from that mental formation, that thought is nothing. Once the mind grabs it, it creates, it transforms. It transforms immediately to be a new person. Follow that idea. So I can see that the difficulties that happen in me, it's not because of the nature of the world, but the nature of that expectation and scrapping it. So I can see really clear line. So I experiment myself this morning when I work. The same good monks turn up and I know expectation come up automatically. Because it's habit. I can see it is a habit. It habit that since we start the building project in Bandung that graduate pagoda. Every day you work, every day we all know the work, and every day that expectation, the idea comes. So become habit of expecting. Once click the working bell, expectation happen immediately. Take the bell out, no expectation. Everybody, click. Everyone must know what to do. Take out. Okay, relax. So I can see really clear line. So the same good monk turn out. And again, because the nature, sometimes people may not have that application in mind. Or because of my past difficulty nature, that they don't know what to touch first, what to do first, so hang on. So I can see that thought happen immediately. So something happened, that awareness, mindfulness of mind, just remind me of when that night I work alone. No expectation, everything flow so smoothly, peacefully. So I maintain that experience by seeing that idea happen, that they should know what to do, take it out. So I just slowly do it. And I can see the difference. Once I have to work and there's some volunteer coming. Now the word volunteer is a beautiful word because it guarantees that you have no experience. Correct? And when you got no experience, that's why you volunteer. And that's why my expectation to them, zero. Oh, I can see this difference. My expectation to them is zero because they are volunteers. They are not professional. You can't expect. So I feel this is really, really different. When you work with volunteers, don't expect. They cut the timber wrong. They carve the stone wrong. Big mistake. Or say, okay, don't worry, never mind. But someone who have done before, why wrong? Because of the mind. See, the same kind of work. One make mistake, another one make mistake. But that volunteer, and that done before, expectation. So this thing reflects from our own mind. So this is one thing for all of us. That I share with you my own story as a study case for you all. Okay. That expectation makes it difficult. Not anything else. Idea makes it so difficult. Once we have that attachment, expectation happens. So one thing to deal with ourselves is to transform ourselves not to be a difficult person, is to getting to know our own mind and learn to be aware of it. Now how we can separate? Because once we do it so often, it becomes habit. Become habit. And the habit, it means professional. Once you got the habit, that means professional. Correct? So when it's become professional, this is difficult. Difficult to change. And we can see the value of the Dhamma immediately. I respect the Buddha more than ever because of his teaching go direct into that training of the mind. Help us to overcome that kind of negative habit, to separate our pure original mind from that upsetting idea, separate pure original mind from that expectation, separate that pure original mind from that attachment. So I can really see the value of the Buddha so clear. That is what we say, the practicing of the Dhamma helps the mind to return to their original pure again and deal with that idea, control it, and select the new idea, how to carry on projects or study whatever we are doing. also to transform ourselves, to go back to our peaceful nature. That is the Dhamma practice, the exercise of mindfulness, exercise of awareness. This key word is very important. Awareness and mindfulness, to know what happened in the mind now. So the awareness and mindfulness, we bring all kinds of knowledge that we have heard, that we have listened, that we have read, to solve the problem at that time, because of awareness and mindfulness. If we solve the problem quicker, our difficult time in the mind becomes shorter. If we solve the problem quite slow, our difficult time in the mind lasts quite long. So it depends on the strength of that Dhamma and the sharpness of that awareness and mindfulness, which can't achieve by just reading. By just reading Dhamma book, listening Dhamma book, these kind of qualities can't happen. But it can happen because of our own training. And the training happens like practice of meditation is one direct training. Training the mind to be mindful, to be aware of something. And the purpose, like we did meditation earlier, to watch the flow of breath. The purpose is to make this mind obey. Use the breath as a toy, as a training program. Let the mind watch the breath. This is to train the mind. So the mind starts to obey. Because the own obeying mind, we can use it. This obeying mind can't use it. So we can see difficulty. And we can see difference that happens. So the purpose of meditation is to make this mind obey, train the mind. So the mind can separate out from that expectation and attachment. Then the mind can select what is healthier, more peaceful, more productive. So we can see this is how to deal with ourselves' difficulties in our own mind, in our own brain, in our own plans, in our own program. Difficult, but we learn to deal with it first. So once we know that difficult thought, that upset thought, that expectation thought, that attachment thought, under control, or even deleted. So the mind becomes more peaceful. So when the mind is peaceful, that's why we can be happier. We're happier. We're more peaceful, relaxed. So we can carry on do things, whatever we like to do. Now it becomes the next person, people around us. When they are difficult to deal, how to do so? Now I can feel that not that difficult at all. After we are able to deal with difficult thoughts in the mind first. But other people, not that difficult at all. I think it's become more rewarding, more challenging, and more fun. See? Because you can see universe, for example, try to deal with difficult people in this university. Very difficult. That's why you move your room here.
Correct?
Because difficult to get the star students come to the Dhamma. That room goes second story and then turn right and then turn left. It's some dark corner too far. And difficult people in this university look at it, so difficult to go. So university is dealing with difficult people in the university by moving the room. So it's close to the library. Good for the difficult people to see. Make easier for them to come. And then pay more attention and listen. Because they are difficult. So you try harder. Try harder for them, in order for them to come into the Dhamma way, or to learn something peaceful. So you can see that you don't give up your idea, but you consider how to help people in this difficult university. Move location, more advertising, or more fun, more games. Like every year you got body night for difficult people. Correct? You all have to play your drama, you have to practice and almost no sleep. You have to arrange many things because it's so difficult for people here in this university to listen Dhamma talk. You have to throw all kind of entertainment for all of them to come. Many parties, well, and they feel boring, then you have award, lucky draw for them to keep their attention here. Because they're difficult, otherwise they just move out. And if body night just only 3 hours Dhamma talk, nobody turned up because they are difficult. So, but you can see that they still keep on going more over 30 years. Thereby, keep on your project, your plan, because of your compassion, your loving kindness, your best wish to them. But they are really difficult to deal. So you have to play. You have to find a technique. In the worldly way, in the business way, they may call play a trick. You must have tricky plan. Correct? But in Buddhist term, we call technique. You know, you follow what the Buddha did before. And you follow what the monks try to do as well. Because the Buddha, out of his compassion, he deal with the difficult people all around in his 45 years after enlightenment. Actually, he gained nothing, but he just feel that it's nice if people learn the way to overcome problems in their lives for their own happiness. This kind of idea is higher, much higher than doing things that you want or you expect something back. Business world, expectation there. So every company who produce some merchandise have to do a lot of things in order to get attention of people so they can sell the product. Universities will sell the product of the Dhamma. So plan, idea, techniques come up. So people will follow the Dhamma way, make it possible and productive for others. So you can see one thing is determination. Your determination, your resolution is here. And not only resolution and good idea, it comes with your effort. Come with your patience, your tolerance. And not only effort, tolerance and patience, but also wisdom. Because when you set up your exhibition, if you expect many people will come to look, then that expectation is problem. But you just set it up for the benefit of others. Who can come, who like to come, come, and they learn something. But you try to do your best. So it comes with the wisdom to let go of that expectation, do your best, and it turns out beautifully. Everyone has good time, fun together. See? So for the difficult people in this world, techniques is really important. Now, this is what you call your active part, that you like someone to do something. Like myself, study case number 2. My father is my hero. He passed away in February, just after Chinese New Year, a few days. And since I became a monk over 23 years ago, my father and my mother's first target for me Yeah. When someone asks a question that why I became monk, I say because of love to mom and dad. I love them. That's why I have to turn to become monk. At the time I study medicine as a medical student, become a doctor, almost graduate. But I can't wait any longer. I can't wait until I graduate and find a job, make income, so I can look after mom and dad. It may be too late. Second, all that material money not guarantee peacefulness, happiness. So, because of my love to them, so I just renounce, give up my study and become a monk. So in the past 23 years, when they're still alive, every single day, I remember that in the very first day, when I make a decision that I not go back to study. I become a monk for 1 month during my summer, and I supposed to go back to study at the end of the holiday. I didn't go back. Mom and dad came to see me and tried to tell me, please, this rope, go back to study, finish education, have your degree, and after then you can become a monk, whatever later, not to do. But now, please go back to study. So I said, no, mom and dad, I see life is so impermanent. And you see, we born and die, we better try to practice the Dhamma now to get out of this suffering world. Mom and dad said, I don't know what you're saying. So, you need to study, you almost graduate, you have that paper and then you can work, you have money. I said, mom and dad, you know, money is so impermanent, life is so impermanent. Mom and dad said, stupid boy. They didn't give up. They went back home. Next week, come back again. My temple is not in Bangkok, in the country area, so they have to drive 3 hours to see me. So now, this time, they bring my used to be a girlfriend. Because for them, I am a difficult son, correct? I am a really difficult son. He's so stubborn. Good thing he almost graduated. He's going to have that reputation, money, everything. He's really difficult to talk. See? So I have to bring a girlfriend. So at that time, I been a bus. I carried a bowl and walking to the village. And their car stopped. So I see mom, okay, mom and dad, and the third person almost melt away. She smiled to me, and my hands almost dropped the bowl. So weak, my muscles almost collapsed. So okay, you go first, I follow you, I walk. No energy to walk back. So I slowly creeping there to the temple. Mom and dad and my girlfriend just there, just talk. Oh, I have no more strength. Mom and dad say, please go back to study. It will be good for you, blah and blah. And she said nothing. She just smiling. How are you? We worry about you. Oh, don't say any word. It's really difficult for me too. So I have to go. After lunch, I have to hide myself. I have to go to the back of the mountain, go into the cave, sit in the cave, breathe in. Her smiling face, breathe out, her smiling face, in and out. She's so nice, she's so kind, she's so generous, she's so humble. Like that. So difficult for me too. But luckily, there's something calling from the back of the head or some whatever that is impermanent. What is the best thing? If you love your parents, if you love your girlfriend, what is the best thing you can give to them? Free from suffering. Only that call pull me back. Only that thing. So I say, please, I'm okay, please go back. I just talked to my girlfriend that I would like to find the best thing for you and for everyone. Now I didn't find it yet. Like that. So that pulled up the string. Since then, for my parents, every time I see them, they look at me that I'm a very difficult son, very stubborn. And I look at them, I try to talk to them. My dad is very difficult. He really angry after he tried to sweet talk to me and use the plan to bring the girlfriend. Not successful. Now he said to be angry. See, he's really angry, really upset. So I feel I can't talk. Because when I talk, he also talk. So each of us can't communicate. I just want to say that the world is so impermanent, mom and dad. Mom and dad say, what? Money impermanent? Your reputation, your work going to help you, and you too is impermanent. Correct? He told me. Yeah. How long you go to be a monk? What he say is true too. So two of us have different ideas like that. So we feel difficult to decide. But eventually I have to select the way to plan myself. That I feel difficult to bring mom and dad into the Dhamma. Actually, they already in the Dhamma way. My dad's so generous. He helps many people. And he is the one who teach me to meditate when I'm 7 years old. My mom every day bring the food to the temples, offer food to the monks. So both mom and dad already in the Dhamma. But I wish them to focus more than ever. I wish them to attain enlightenment. That is my plan. So I try to bring them more. Practice more meditation, mom and dad. See many great masters, mom and dad, so some good things can happen. That is my plan, my wish to them. But how I can bring them? Because every time I talk, they pay no attention. They know it's good, but better you finish your studies. So this is difficult. Difficulties that happen. One lady in the kitchen heard my story and she told me, you know, Brahmana, why don't you sit meditation every day, think of mom and dad, send your positive vibration to them, soften their heart, and stop their sadness because you are a very stubborn son. You have to prove yourself. So that's why I make up my mind so strong. Every single day, morning, evening, until now, even though they passed away already, I still send my thought of love and share my memories with them. So I know that we can talk, then have to prove by action. Whenever they visit me, they try to tell me again. I know we can't communicate. So I just close my eyes. I say nothing. And they really disappointed. And I cry inside my heart. I can't talk to them. So I remember mom and dad say they cry almost every night at that time because I don't listen. So they say that I got carried away by some black magic from my master. I say, I have to change the attitude and let them see the value. That's why I set up my determination that I can talk, I can teach to them, but I have to prove that I'm happy. See? Let them see that this way is happy way. So I try to practice myself so hard. I follow my teacher Long Ta Seyun in the first year. Walk in the forest, sleep in the graveyard, eat one meal a day, walk barefoot. We practice praying so hard at that time. Every time they come to see me, they look at me, I'm happier. And one thing is that before I became a monk, I'm so sick. I got admitted to hospital every year. No one knows what's wrong. And that's why I become studied to become a doctor. But once I become a monk, I get healthier and healthier. And that is one thing that release their worry. They see their son healthier, happier. And many more friends, all the monks talk nice to them. All the monks call them mom and dad of Pramana. So they feel they are father and mother of the other monks as well. And the whole monastery honor them, that they are father and mother of one monk. They honor them. That is how they got compensated. Whereas the worldly society blame them, why your sons go to be a monk, a poor homeless one? See, the worldly way say that he stupid, that son stupid, lost everything, poor, no name. But in the Dhamma world, spiritual world, honor them. And they can see two kinds of friends themselves. One is materialistic, and one honors the spiritual quality. They can see the approach. This one have to talk about money, wealth, diamond, gold. This one, simple, care, compassion, loving kindness. That is how their mind shifts into this way. So, it took me, for my mom, 17 years. Until she agreed. 17 years and she agreed on her last minute of her life when she died in my arms. Because my son, my other brother, sister got family. I got my younger brother as a doctor, psychiatrist. And the other two younger sisters as a pharmacist, PhD, whatever they're doing. They all have family commitments. None of them can stay long. When mom got hospitalized for 3 months, I'm only one who stay next to her bed every single day, nurse her. So only last minute of her life, she can see that why I give up everything just for her. And I just talk about the Dhamma for her every day. And that is what my dad can see. And my dad told me that I misunderstood you for a long time. You give up everything just for parents. I have nothing. Mom wants to give me, dad would like to give me some property. I say no, just give to other brothers. I don't want anything. And until February when my dad passed away, I am the one who spent the time with him in hospital for 2 months. I come back for Christmas, for retreat, and March, I'm supposed to be in Thailand, pick him up, I come to Australia. I keep on telephoning to him almost every evening, chanting for him. So I can see that it takes so long time to overcome this kind of difficulty. Difficult mother, difficult father. Because we wish them to get something wonderful, the Dhamma, the wisdom, the way to the end of suffering. But it can't happen instantly. Mother and father is the most difficult person for son and daughter to bring into the Dhamma. But it's challenging. And I can't be angry. First, I remember that 20 years ago, when I first became a monk, and dad still smoking and drinking. I said, dad, don't drink. And dad said, you know, Pramana, you are vegetarian, correct? Yes. You know, this beer is vegetarian drink. And he's correct. Can't argue. So I can't ask him to stop drinking. He keep on drinking and smoking. Every time I see him smoke, dad, don't smoke. Why not? Oh, can't. Until he become not so healthy, then he quit drinking himself. Until he got hospitalized 2 years ago, then he quit smoking himself. I can't tell him. That is difficulty. I love him. I can't tell him. So I feel he's difficult. And he look at me, you're difficult too. See? So time, take some time. And I can see that because I never bring problems to him. This is one thing. Whereas my other brothers and sisters come, oh, dad, my wife is like this and this, oh, my husband is like this and this. They always have problems in their family. Talk to mom and dad. A problem with business. Talk to mom and dad. Problem with their kids. Talk to mom and dad. Only me. No problem. Let me talk about the temple a bit, but it's no worry. It's only the temple. You be there or not be there, no problem. So this is one thing that I myself throw all the positive ideas, talk to him or to her in a very positive way and show no problem and happiness and persuade, invite him into the really good way. So slowly that kind of barrier melts away. Slowly, 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 slowly. So one thing is to difficult people is use our own virtues. Your good nature that you already have in yourself. We all have good nature. You look for one. It can be your tolerance. It can be your compassion. It can be your wisdom. It can be your calmness of mind. Use the strong quality in yourself to win over other people's hearts. That is definitely work for myself. Because from talking is carry less weight by doing it. Make it happen. So from that difficult person become easier. Eventually they follow. Eventually, I remember that December last year when I told mom, dad's still in the hospital, that I have to come back to Australia because we have Christmas New Year retreat, many people. I have to come back to teach. Because I spent 2 months with dad in the hospital already. You know, dad cried. He's so sad. He don't want me to get away from him at all. What I do, I'm not a doctor, I'm just a monk, but I do chanting to him. I make joke with him, I make him laugh. Whenever he's not happy, I just try to make him feel good, feel alright, feel whatever. And remind him how good he is, how wonderful thing he has done for the whole family. So when the time I have to go, he don't want me to go. Whereas all the other brothers and sisters still coming to visit him, but he don't want me to go to Australia. I remember on that day when I told dad I have to go back, he cried in bed. He really confused. He don't want to eat. So I feel very sad too. How I can talk to my dad. I know that there's some work of love and care over there. So I have to find the other technique to make sure to him that I come back definitely and come to pick him up. Takes time for him to let me go. Actually, he doesn't want me to go at all. But I have to find some around, somewhere around, talk to the nurse and doctor, just tell my dad, I go temporarily and come back quick. So the hospital staff tell me to talk to my dad. And then listen to doctor. Okay, doctor, he got his favorite doctor. And favorite doctor confirmed that, oh, the monk just go temporarily, come back. We look after you. Everyone confirmed like that. So he, although, okay, slowly let me go. So this is something that we have to find our own way. For difficult people, difficulties that arise. You can't just, dad, I go now. Dad, you know life is impermanent. I come back if you're still alive. It's fact. But it's not a good technique to use. So you have to find your own way. But of course, it comes from your virtue, your love, your qualities, your kindness. But another way around, apart from family members who are so close and meaningful, friends. Now, some friends or even my own family members, case study number three, brothers, you know, when I got 8 brothers and sisters, when you have many members in family, we fight. I think this is for other family I heard really good, brother and sister really care and love one another. But for my own family, it seems to be in our gene. For my uncles, when I look back, what they call family tree, I got my 8 uncles and my father. So my grandparents got 9 boys, no girls. 9 boys, a Chinese family, 9 boys. So I look, that's why. There's no gentleness in this family. All the boys love to fight, and they have something in their blood like a rhinoceros. I can see that it happened. And when I look in the family tree, first uncle got 5 sons, 2 daughters, and they fight. Second uncle also sons and daughters fight. And third and fourth and fifth until my family. Yes, we have in the gene. This is what the Buddha say, Kamma Pantu. Correct? We related by Kamma. You become brother and sister because you have some kind of Kamma together. That's why you born in the same family. And my Kamma have that trait of fighting gene. So, my brothers, last February, went to the funeral service of my dad. I called all the brothers, come. One brother said, no, I don't want to come. Why? I have my own way to do for my dad. I do chanting and dedicate marriage to my dad. I don't want to come to the funeral service. Just come, no. And I can't tell him. I can talk, I am a monk and an elder brother. He didn't want to listen to me. So, we can see even in the family, it's difficult to talk. See? So I have to go all the way around again. Talk to the other uncle. Eventually he turned up. But another brother disappeared. Never turned up. Maybe he hates father. I don't know. So some we have to let go. You can't expect even my own family to love one another. Actually they fight. Yeah, I tell this story to Kim many times. Even my brothers keep on fighting because of business. I have to remind them when we were young, when we have no money, when dad still poor, money is not a key element. We learn. But why now we fight? Property, wealth, money. Until now, some of my brothers don't talk with one another because of the business. I have to be in the middle. And I can't approach one side too much, the other side hate me. So I have to swing around. See, try to bring them in harmony. Difficult. Try to bring them together. They almost, they even fight in the funeral service. One day, if you come, gun. If you come, you don't give me back your money that you borrow me, don't come. I shoot your head off. My dad. See, that is my family. So I have to be in the middle. Calm this person down and let that person come. And don't talk about money. Yeah, even my own family, I can't. Some of them have to let go. If I do explain, they don't listen, let go. My own brother. My dad. So this is why some difficult people, you can't help. We have to think like the Buddha. He can't enlighten everyone in India. You have to let go. Because the more you try to deal with it, and the more trouble you have, then stop. In the monastery as well, why we have some certain rules, certain regulations? Because we would like everyone in the family, my family is the monastery, to be happy, peaceful and good atmosphere to study Dhamma. So someone who so slack and not really keen at the Dhamma, just for a tourist or just like to chit chat as a monk, and today one lady came up and approached him. she is the editor, going to write a book, and the book called Unusual People in Southern Thailand. And she likes to interview the monks because the monks classify as unusual people. So I think she's right, that lady, because we're really unusual. But better share the topic. The heading of the book we call Abnormal People in Southern Thailand. And she said no. If you allow her to do like that, you will what you call attract unusual people come to the temple. And some people do like that. This morning one man, he drove the old car. In Mittagong they have a festival. The old fashioned car that when you start you have to go to the front of the car and do like this. Yeah? Correct?
Vintage car.
All from Sydney, Canberra, go to Mittagong. His car is about 96 years old. Yeah, 96 years old car. He drove all the way to Sydney, from Sydney and to Mittagong, and then bypass come to stop in the Bananoo. And he talk about his car. So the time for him to go, he just in the monks, come, please, come take a picture with my car. But don't block my car, go there. Take picture. Oh, the monk, but my car is the focus, then the monk is a kind of flower decoration. Yeah. So Kim don't want this thing to happen. That they come to the monastery, look for the monk, is like go to the zoo. Looking that unusual people. Oh, that unusual people there. Some people take it like that, you know, because it becomes fashion in Australia now. Fashion as meditation is fashion. Be friends with the monk is fashion. Like Richard Gere, like many Hollywood movies, you friend with Dalai Lama. Trendy now, you know. It becomes like that. And that kind of people not really keen in the Dhamma, correct? Some of them just come to talk to the monks like we are abnormal people in the zoo. So she tried to avoid that in order to maintain good atmosphere of the Dhamma study. So these kind of difficult people who have no interest, we have to limit their time. Otherwise they take away all of your energy. Take away all the energies of the monks instead of practice meditation or study Dhamma or working for the benefit of other people. You have to chit chat nonsense with these kind of people. So in order to avoid, because you even can't change their mind. So best way is to let go. That's why some of these kind of people we say, you can come to visit, but just walk around. Kim give very good recommendation to them. Don't disturb the monks if you want to look around. They are working. Look around, walk around. Any question ask me. Because they ask questions, oh, how long have you been here, where they are from? That is not a Dhamma question at all. And someone come to me say, last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, they just had a new election, the Labour Party or Liberal or Green or what government you think? I think all the governments are the same, blah, 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 for 1 hour. I don't know why you talk all this thing to me. It's not related to his own practice or my practice. It's just only would like to chit chat with abnormal people. Like that. So this is one thing. Sometimes you have to let go. This kind of people, this kind of friends that withdraw a lot of your good energy. You know, in the monastery we used to have some group of people who come and just chit-chatting. In the Dhamma talk, no, they just chit-chat outside. Finish Dhamma talk, they like to chit-chat with the monk. Some people like that, some family. Until they say that, why you don't come during the Dhamma talk? We finish, the monk's working, I have to go to help. I can't spend the time chit-chat whatever with you. Many of them disappointed. A few family disappointed and never come back in the past 3 years. And I feel glad. because I don't waste my energy. I use my own energy with all the people who are keen to listen to Dhamma talk or to practice meditation, because I believe that that kind of family issues, problems can be solved if we study and practice the Dhamma. So we can say that in the monastery we have to set up that kind of thing of letting go. We can't help these kind of people. But people turn up for the retreat, we really concentrate, give the full amount of time, 100% energy, because we know that they really like to practice and study Dhamma. That is how the benefit can happen. And your energy will become more productive. So this is another study case for you all to think about, reflect on your own life. When you have many things to do, people to deal with, some with their interests that you like to help and you are ready to do it. Some is not the time to help yet, have to let go. I believe that when you come into the Dhamma way, you may lose some friends because you didn't have time to go to party with them. Correct? You may lose some friends, but that kind of friends deserve to lose them, deserve to let them go. But some friends that you should value, like this friend, keen in the Dhamma way, something productive, healthy for your spiritual life, these kind of friends need to be treasured, but it's rare. It's rare. But rarity makes it so special. Diamond is so expensive because it's rare. Dhamma friend is so rare. That's why it carries high value. So you have to weigh. Better to lose someone, keep someone. The Buddha even mentioned that if you don't have a good friend, better stay alone. Like the elephant in the forest, who go to join with that group who are naughty elephants. Better live and stay alone, because there's no headache, no danger, no downfall from associating with that group. The Buddha even mentioned like that. So, in conclusion, you don't need to have too many friends. Select a few good ones. So this is justly I like to share with you. Difficult person in ourselves, like my own case, expectation, attachment that we discover every single day, because we have different kind of expectation, attachment, even to my own cat. Where is the cat? He must look after the kitchen. Where is God? He just eat and disappear and come back in the morning. Even my own attachment to the cat. Every time we have lunch, all the birds come to the table. Like to share with the monk. See? So expectation, attachment happen even in different things. So we have to learn how to deal with it. First, so we transform ourselves not to be a difficult person, a peaceful person. Then we are able to deal with other people much easier. And the best way to change people around is to win over their hearts by our own actions. So that is my conclusion. Any questions?